Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, April 21st, 2011 meeting of the Community Promotions Committee of Morro Bay. We are all here except Tracy Neal, so we have a quorum. This meeting is called to order. Do we have any public comment?
Good morning. I'm Sherry Clark from Barnett Cox & Associates. Just wanted to reintroduce myself and let you know we are ready to roll whenever we get to start, and we're excited about going to work for you guys. So, thank you.
Thanks for coming, Sherry.
Hi, I'm Trina Doherty, and the hat I'm going to wear first this morning is AGP Video. And we do all of the video production for these meetings, city meetings, and we also do a lot of state meetings. So I want to let you and our viewing public know that the California Ocean Protection Council is coming for their quarterly meeting here in Morro Bay. It'll be on May 12th from 1 to 5 here at the Vets Hall. This is a pretty big deal for Morro Bay to have an agency of this importance come to Morro Bay, and we want to invite all of the public to come. There will be a reception, a luncheon reception, which at this point is here at the Vets Hall. There'll be some more details on that. To let you know, this meeting will be broadcast live on Channel 20. It will be streamed live on calspan.org. It will be replayed on Channel 21, and it will be archived also on calspan.org. And so if I invite you all to go to www.cal-span.org to find out, there's links to the agency to find out what they do. There's also archived of their meetings. The agenda will be posted later on. And the other thing that I would like to point out on this is that we were privileged enough to provide services for a huge conference in San Francisco last September with the California World Ocean, which was in collaboration with the Ocean Protection Council. And we created a large and maybe one of the only video libraries of all of the concurrent sessions. There were over 60 concurrent sessions, along with some plenary sessions. Contact with these council, you know, some of them are cabinet level council members, to show them what our issues are here in Morro Bay and with related, you know, ocean related matters and fishing and so forth. So it's a great opportunity. So we'd invite you all to come. Can I change hats? Morro Bay Fourth. As many of you know, and our distinguished president of our organization is Dan Podesto. I'm the secretary as of last night. And previous secretary, now recruited again. We want everyone to just take into consideration that the 4th of July is a huge event. We are fundraising like crazy people, and we need all the help that we can get from the community to put on this family-friendly community event. It's going to be a bigger event this year. It actually goes over the whole weekend plus Monday, so we're trying to put as many events together as possible. We have a couple fundraisers coming up, and the first one, there are still tickets left. They are available at Stax Winery. Stax is sponsoring this great fundraiser for $100 a ticket. You have a 1 in 100 chance of winning 100 bottles of wine, high quality wine. It doesn't mean you have to put the whole $100 up. You could split it with a business or split it with some of your friends. And the drawing will be on May 1st at this point. So there's still several tickets left, and we really want you to everyone to participate. It's a great opportunity to help fundraise and get some good wine also. And then we also have the Oyster Feed May 22nd. Which is also a great fundraiser event and just fun. It's down at Tognazzini's Dockside. So we hope that all of you will join us and pitch in to help out, put on a great event. So if you have any questions, let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Trina. So we are moving on to Craig. Hi.
Good morning. last but not least, I want to remind you that the Kite Festival is coming up April 30th and May 1st. It's a two-day event this year. It'll kick off with a parade at 10 a.m. at Bank of America. So dress up, bring a kite, bring a float, bring a friend, and then we'll be meeting down at the Rock at 11:30 in the morning for the Blessing of the Wind, and we'll be giving out 400 kites and people for free.
Go on to committee announcements. Shall we start with Janice? Have you got any announcements?
I do. I have a couple. While we're on the subject of coming events, the Mermaid and Pirate Parade, our fourth annual, is coming up on May 14th. That's a Saturday. And sign-ups start at 10 o'clock at Target Rock, which is the beginning of the Harbor Walk. And the parade then proceeds along the Harbor Walk to Dockside 2, where they have seafood snacks that they provide for all of our little participants. So I encourage all of the mermaids and pirates and sea creatures in town to get ready for that. It's always a lot of fun. Secondly, also on events, the fundraiser Follies this year, our costs were up and our ticket sales were a little bit down, probably because of the weather. There was snow predicted, if you recall, that weekend. So we did not make enough to do the full distributions to all of the events. And I was mentioning this to Barry Ross of Morabay Furniture, and he very generously funded us with $1,500. So because of that donation, which he figured is his contribution to all the events for the year because we cover their permits, it did now allow us to cover all the permit fees and a lot of the use fees. So I just wanted to say to everybody, first of all, thank you, Barry Ross, and everybody, check out Morabay Furniture when you need furniture, because he really supports the community, and we want to support him in return.
Thanks, Janice. Got anything else?
Yes, I do. A reminder, the following weekend after the Kite Festival is our very large car show. It's the famous Morro Bay, Cruising Morro Bay, which will take place on Friday, May 6th, starting at 6 o'clock. There'll be a parade right through town. You can look at all the cars and see them in action. And then on Saturday, they'll all be displayed on Morro Bay Boulevard, up and down both all the side streets. I understand there's probably close to, if not over, 500 cars that'll be exhibited. So it's going to be one of the biggest shows that the city has ever seen. A report I heard last night on the Emergency Vehicle Festival that took place last weekend, which was a car show of about 80 emergency vehicles and the police cars and things. It was just fantastic. They expected maybe the first year they'd get 30, 40. They had over 80 exhibitors. So it was a very, very successful show, and they look forward to doing it again next year. So don't forget the car show the weekend of May 6th and 7th.
Thanks, Ed. Bill, have you got anything? Dan? A discussion of appointment of film commissioner. We would change it from Janice Peters provided a report on the concept indicating a financial impact of $5,000 per day to Janice Peters provided a report on the concept of encouraging film companies to shoot in Morro Bay with a revenue potential of $5,000 per day during filming. So is that?
I move we make that correction to the minute.
Are there any other corrections to the minutes? I need a second, I guess, on that. But.
A second.
Okay. Any other corrections?
Yeah, I had a correction. Under new business, section B, appointment of members of subcommittees, I believe I was only volunteering for the budget subcommittee, not the creative.
Okay. Let's put me on creative. So we'll make that change. All right. Any other corrections, changes, additions? So we have a motion to amend the minutes. Is that approved? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And to approve the minutes? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Keep that simple. Monthly reports. Visitor Center report.
Thank you. In your packet, you have the promotions report for March, and our traffic was down a little bit in the visitor center compared to last year, and I have to attribute that mainly to weather. All the other numbers, fulfillment was down a little bit over last year also, but we did a huge mailing right around the 1st of April, so that will show up in your next report. I failed to do the 12-month running total for you. I apologize for that, but that'll be in your next month's report. Any questions? Thank you.
Thanks, Craig. Budget report.
Okay. So as you can see, as we get closer toward the end of June, a lot of the money is already encumbered. Festival that we're working on, and the web maintenance and development, we'll continue to do that all the way through June. So we have basically 3.5 more months of that. So anyway, that kind of gives you a picture of where we're at. There was one item that I was going to discuss in my report that would take a little bit out of the fire sale budget, so I'll approach that when that time comes. Any questions on the budget?
I'm looking at your print publications, and I'm not seeing Coastal Living, where I have been seeing our ads, and it's a great magazine for us to be in. Is that
that's actually
it's already spent, or it was fire sale?
No, that was actually covered by the BID budget.
Oh, okay.
So the ads that you saw in Coastal Living were from the BIDs.
Okay.
So this is just what we did for the city.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Thanks, John.
Okay. Want me to move into my...
On to the agency.
Okay, great. Thank you. As far as the website, you all were emailed the stats. I'll just go through basically kind of a review. We had over close to 19,000 visits to the site. And this takes us through April 18th, so that's March 19th through April 18th. We still continue to get most of our referrals from Google, as you can see. One of the referral sources is San Jose Mercury News. We started a campaign there, so it's nice to see that's showing up pretty significantly. The county VCB, we have a banner campaign running there, so you can see that that's become a much more viable site for us. As far as where people are coming from, the Fresno area, Los Angeles, followed by San Francisco, Bakersfield, San Diego, which is interesting since we're not doing a whole lot of marketing down there. And then again, the San Jose market. And then it kind of goes down from there as far as other cities in Southern California. So San Jose Mercury News was close to 500 visits, and that campaign just started about a week ago. So that looks like we'll have some good results from that. And Facebook continues to grow. We're adding about 20 people a day. That's what happened in Pismo when all of a sudden we had 22,000 fans. We started to see this increase. So I think we're kind of over the hump. We got a lot of Facebooks for Morro Bay. We've tried to encourage those people who have those Facebooks to fan us and have us have those people come over to us. So I think it's looking good there. Is there any other questions on the web stats? No?
Nope.
Okay. What I wanted to show you at this point, so it's just going to be a principal tool for the promotion. And as you all are aware, our strategy all along and our strategy, had we been going forward, would have been to do a lot of videos because YouTube is now the second most way people find out about their destination. So our campaign has been very heavily video oriented. I'm going to turn the lights down just so you can see it a little better.
Joan, I have a question.
Sure.
Will there be a will there be a DVD produced from this?
Yes.
We'll have a separate DVD.
There is a place nearby where the character of nature is unspoiled, where the bounty of the earth and sea is evident everywhere you look, in the richness of the soil, in the freshness of the harvest, in the vastness of the ocean, It is a place of tranquility that permits visitors a rare glimpse into the qualities of life that are too often lost. It is a place that allows you to slow your heart rate, look deep inside, and discover that which is best about yourself. It is a place where you can come to discover your better nature. Morro Bay, on Scenic Highway 1, gateway to Big Sur, and over 100 miles of uninterrupted scenic coastline. Morro Bay, where there are as many things to do as there are to see, and you're invited. Where the seafood is fresh, the wine is world class, and the restaurants serve local ingredients direct from the farmer's market. Here you can get to know the vintners, taste the fruits of their harvest, and discover gold medal vintages that will be the envy of all your friends back home. And you can find every kind of cuisine imaginable to accompany your delicious new wine discoveries. Talk about a great getaway. You'll find every conceivable kind of place to stay in Morro Bay. Cosmopolitan spas, B&Bs, or luxury suites. It's all available, it's all affordable, and it's all here, ready to welcome you with the warmest hospitality on the Central Coast. And Morro Bay is a great vacation getaway for the entire family. True relaxation. Discover your better nature in beautiful Morro Bay.
So that's our newest video, and again, that'll be kind of our main focus for promotion for travel writers. That we find a lot of people now, rather than getting the traditional press kit, they just like to get a DVD that explains kind of the destination. So glad I could do that. That's sort of my little travel log from Morro Bay as I exit this. So hopefully you like it, and again, we'll look for any comments that you have. But that's pretty much the video.
Thanks, John. Anybody have any comments about any of that?
I know, it was terrific. I love it. Of course, I love the shot of the dog. But no, I mean, it just makes me feel so lucky to live here.
It does give you a very warm, fuzzy feeling about Morro Bay, and relaxing. The pace of it is slower, which is nice.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Sure. Thank you.
Anything else for your report?
I just have one other thing, and that was the item that I was going to talk to you about as far as the possibility of taking some money out of the fire sale budget, since we still have remaining dollars there. I attend the BID alliances on behalf of Morro Bay as well as for Pismo, and Joan and Michelle tend to go to those meetings as well. I don't think Joan was there this last time, but Michelle was, and one of the topics that came up was Brigitte from the city of San Luis Obispo's BID had an inquiry from PBS, from a production company for PBS, and basically the proposal was, it's a travel show called Travel Scope, and I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it's a real popular show nationally on PBS. It reaches 92% of the U.S. market, has over 250 million viewers, it's had several Emmy nominations, it's won 3 Telly Awards, and it's basically a travel program that experiences everything from, you know, California to international. And what they're going to be doing, there's a 1.5-hour television show that will be in the Travel Scope TV series season 6. It actually won't even occur till 2012, but they're in the process now of formulating their production schedules. And this is county beaches and coast. And basically, it'll be editorial coverage. What we're thinking, we would do this through the county VCB, but very similar to what we did with our co-op program, like with U.S. Airways that you're all familiar with, we would have a landing page where people would go, they'd have one website that they would go to, and then all of the participating destinations would be on that landing page. And so our logo would be included on their website, and their website gets over 250,000 visits each month. They also have an e-magazine that they send out. We'd be included in that. And there's also a podcast that they do. And then added value would be a blog posting featuring San Luis Obispo County experience. The promotional video would be streaming on tours and travels page of the Travel Scope website as well. So there's a lot of value added. The show, of course, is you know, editorial, so we can't dictate that how much time is Morro Bay going to get versus Pismo Beach or Cambria or anything. But everybody on the BID, the total package, the sponsorship package to make it happen was $15,000. And if all the BIDs participated, and we're not sure about Paso because it's not going to really include them, however, it probably would be to their benefit to promote San Luis Obispo County. So just looking at the County Unincorporated, which is the CBID, which covers Cambria, you know, Avila, it sounds like their marketing committee has approved a $4,000 contribution. Pismo Beach just yesterday approved their $4,000. The City of San Luis Obispo has expressed an interest. I don't know if their board has met on it, but it sounded like they were going to, you know, the BID was going to recommend doing it. The BID Alliance member, which is John Connor, who's the former chairman. And so if Morro Bay did it, it would be $4,000, and we would have enough money, you know, to do the program and a little bit left over to probably do some of the coordination. So what I was thinking is I'll take this to the BID for the bulk of it, but I was thinking maybe the promotions committee might want to take $1,000 out of their fire sale budget, and then that would lessen kind of the blow for the BID, and the BID would then, I would suggest to them, to fund $3,000. I think it's very worthwhile for that kind of money to be on a national program on PBS and to have the theme be San Luis Obispo County Coastal Beaches. I don't know if you've ever seen the show, but the producer is very well known, very respected. I'm sure it'll be a really quality show. So,
well, we should do it only if the BID approves it. I mean, I wouldn't want to put the $1,000 out and then have them.
No, I would under.
So if we all do it, yes, I would be in favor of it.
Yeah, I understand.
My question would be, do we want to put up more than $1,000? We have $2,868 in that fire sale in addition to some.
I think that the BID would, I can't speak for them, but I know that they were interested in doing it, and they still have substantial amount in their fire sale budget. They have over $20,000.
It seems like something we'd want to make sure would go, however we look at it. Anybody else have comments?
I would think if you know, we could split it with them if they don't want to put up $3,000,
okay,
then we should be willing to take two out of one of our public relations or fire sale, something like that.
Okay.
Is there any way that we will get an advance notice as to when this thing is going to be on?
Well, I would imagine that, you know, they're going to want our assistance, you know, as far as where to, you know, to shoot and give them some ideas. And, you know, that's part of us being a sponsor. So I would imagine that, you know, we would be working with them. I just want to make it clear that we can't dictate to them. But they're going to be wanting our help, and a lot of it would be going through probably with, you know, the county VCB. But since my firm and Middle Marketing have already been doing the co-op, it would sort of go under that kind of that guise where the same landing page that we're currently using for that campaign could be utilized.
Is there any way we can talk them into spending the night here or nights?
You can always ask. Always ask.
That, you know, to me, that would be one way to get them.
Well, I would imagine that, you know, they'll take several, you know, several days or weeks to film this series. So I think that just this episode. So I think all those things we would want to request.
Dana, Tracy, any comments?
Should we make a motion?
Yeah, I don't really have anything new to offer. It sounds great.
Okay. Who wants to make a motion?
Sure. I'll try. I would move that we take was it $1,000? Is that what we decided? Of our contingency money to help fund this PBS program along with the BID's contribution, whatever that might be.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right.
Great. Thank you. That pretty much concludes my report.
Website subcommittee report. Did you guys meet?
My golly, we're responsible for a third, so that we would have some way to know who is is on the ball and who isn't. So, but we also felt that we need to talk to the new agency, the person that's going to be running, doing the website, and I'm sure that'll be done in conjunction with the TBID website subcommittee, to find out what their capabilities are and what they're going to make some recommendations, if they have any recommendation for our website. Sir, anything else, Tracy or Ed, that I left out?
Oh, also, I think we talked about having that joint meeting with the T-BID subcommittee ourselves and the new agency once they take over, yeah.
All right, thank you. Creative Review Subcommittee did not meet, okay. Moving on, we have no unfinished business left, so we go on to new business.
Wasn't there something about the form for the publicity that goes out with the groups?
Yes, we did discuss. What we would like to have the city do, or we should come up with a form, and I thought that the creative subcommittee was coming up with a form that could be included with somebody that takes out a new business license. And in that form, it would say, do you want to join the Chamber of Commerce? And would you like to be listed on the website? And put it on the new businesses to get the information to us or to somebody so that they get on the website. Not somebody in our group has to root out who is going to be on the website. So we discussed that again. And maybe it's going to be up to our committee to come up with that form if the city would be willing to include that form in the business packet.
Well, I think we also had a committee that was designing a form to go with the permits that Rec and Parks gives out to people to take out permits for events, for any of the shows or that take place here in town. When they take out that permit in that packet promotion to let them know of the chamber's abilities for promotion and the promotions committee's abilities, what they can do and how they can get that information there. And I believe we had a committee that was in the process of doing that form.
For business licenses as well as applications for new business licenses. What type of business would you like to be included under which of the following categories, that kind of thing. And like we've discussed before, a form for events to do the same kind of thing. But I don't know, should we put the form together, or is that something we would well like to make recommendations to city staff so that it conforms to what they're already doing, or how do we do that?
Mr. Schultz.
Speaking of Rob.
I'd appreciate it if the creative committee could work on those forms.
Okay.
You know, you guys know what you're looking for, and the businesses are much more adept at doing that after just doing the creative side of our Discover Our Better Nature to reach the patent, the copyright requirements. Mm-hmm. Wasn't big enough chore for us trying to get into the creative side. So I'd rather leave that up to you guys. I mean, we'll have final say, but I'd leave it up to you on what, you know, boxes to check or anything you can do. From a staff level, you know, if you need any research done from what other cities do, we can help with that.
Rob, before we go into that, is the city capable and will they do it? Is the city capable of giving those out?
From a legal standpoint, I see no reason why not. And, you know, like Board Member Neal said, is at the yearly, when we do the yearly renewal, I mean, we could just stick that form in there. So I don't think mm-hmm. there's, from a legal standpoint, there's no reason why we can't do that.
Operationally, it can be done, yeah. Too. It's okay.
Could I make a comment? I think it's important that, we want to have everybody included. Keep in mind that we have two basic sites, even though they're housed within the chamber site. We have a visitor site that serves people who are interested in coming here and staying here, and I think it's important to have the businesses listed that visitors have some interest or need in. That's not to say that on the chamber site that people who have businesses shouldn't be listed, but I think it's important to keep those things sort of separate so people don't have to wade through a lot of things that aren't really going to be meaningful for them. I mean, like a plumber, for instance. You know, it's probably not likely you're going to call a plumber if you're on vacation. So I think it's important, hopefully not, that you have, you know, there may be, as you're planning this process, you might have some sort of criteria. Who goes on the visitor site? Who goes into the chamber site?
Yeah, that's a good point. We did discuss that. That is one. That's just what we were thinking, John. We need to, and that was part of the landing page and all that kind of thing. But how do you filter these businesses into which area? And there's some businesses that people just don't need public access to. You're not going to hire a contractor on vacation kind of thing. So.
And what we would be doing here, are they one and the same? And does the chamber require membership to be on their website?
The chamber does.
Okay, because that would seem to me to be something we would have to respect. We don't want to give something away when the chamber is looking to increase membership by offering that.
When you go to the Morro Bay website, you can go to a chamber drop-down mm-hmm. and see chamber members. When you go to, what is it under, activities?
Lodging.
And there's lodging, there's activities, there's restaurants. So there's a different drop-down area that you can, things to do in Morro Bay, I think.
You can plan your trip.
And then you can find different businesses, retail businesses, that aren't necessarily chamber members. Okay. So they are both listed. A little harder to find non-chamber member retailers, I think. But that's maybe the advantage to being in the chamber. You get listed twice.
I think if everybody joined the chamber, it wouldn't be an issue.
I agree.
Good idea.
So it sounds like we need to set a meeting for that committee to prepare that form.
Some things have come up here, and I think maybe we need to discuss it further on our committee and decide what we want to put on that form, because there are certain, I don't know how you would separate the businesses if we had just a general form, not unless you had to check off what and only list four or five businesses. So maybe we need to discuss that.
Well, could the
on our
ask,
committee.
I think we were thinking more also of events, and the business directory is mostly, it's a chamber directory, which is the business directory. And as you pointed out, the advantage of is taken away if you give away the membership. If you give away the listing, there's no incentive to join the chamber. The lodging industry has their listings. So I think what our listings are for basically is a business directory of the city, not so much for tourism. If it's on the chamber side, if you want to have tourist-oriented businesses on the tourism side, that's another issue. But when someone takes out a business license, I don't think you can say, well, you can, they're tourists or not tourists, they can't go on the website.
You can have an entry as your business primarily visitor-oriented or mm-hmm. community service.
Right.
If we just get the information, if we have a good
that's all we
comprehensive
need. We'll
questionnaire, get the and then we can take a look at the website and see how to apply it in a way that works for us and works for the chamber and serves visitors as well as regular members of our community.
So could I suggest we have this subcommittee meet and next month bring back a form that we could approve? Is that all right? So
who's going to meet?
Well, I have on the PR subcommittee is Neil and Peters. The website is Krovitz, Neil and Stafford. I mean, we have to decide where this is going to fall. I think it's probably more the PR thing. Okay. So, and perhaps we could combine it with creative. The three of us could meet, and we'll work out a time for that. Okay. So, on to new business. Set a date for a future workshop joint meeting with the new marketing agency and the Tourism Business Improvement District Board. That's probably going to be a challenge in terms of logistics for all of us. Any ideas about how we do that?
Yeah, maybe just from a time standpoint, would you want it in the morning? Do you want it in the evening? Is there, we weren't looking for Friday or Saturday, so what's the date of the week that might be the best also?
And do we need to film it and record it and all of that?
We can work with AGP, might not. I wouldn't look at that as our requirement because, like you said, it's going to be difficult enough trying to get everybody together.
Is this going to be a public workshop?
Yes.
A public workshop.
Yes.
Everyone's invited.
Yes.
Boy, anybody have any ideas? Morning, evening, afternoon?
One idea is to do it at the same time as your next meeting and do it then and try to keep the agendas very light and, maybe that's the best way to do it. If that was one of the ideas, but we didn't know how you felt, you know, with agendas and that, it might be difficult.
I tend to go with that idea simply because people are used to having it at this time. And perhaps, what I wonder is, we could get some people from the business forum over here to participate in that workshop, which we've been trying to do for a long time.
A good idea.
So it's something that those business people are also used to being somewhere at 9 o'clock on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can have them just once come and pay attention to the board that's trying to do things for them, that would be really helpful.
So why don't we make that recommendation? And do we want any sort of a second option, to just in case they're not happy with that idea?
An initial contact letter and a list of the kinds of information we would need. We sort of divided up in my presentation last month. I listed all the things that we would need. And the things that we'd need to start with are a local production contact book and a permit and getting things on the website. Those seem to be the first steps. So that's what we talked about, and that's where this letter came from. I'm happy to have any suggestions on this. It doesn't have to be now. You can contact me later when you have had a chance to digest it. But this is something that we would send out with adjustments to the receiver, the chambers, the promotions committees of other cities, production companies themselves, perhaps theater groups. Anyone who would be able to supply some of these resources is who we would try to reach. And so that's where kind of some of our initial costs would come from, is either sending this out by a snail mail, if we feel that that's important, to some of those agencies, or getting it out to their meetings. I'm perfectly willing to go to other city meetings and present it so that they have a face to connect with it, and it's not just some ethereal idea. And then the cost of putting that all on the website. And I don't know, John, did you have a chance to look into that at all?
I think it would be very nominal. I mean, just getting the content, I mean, we have enough in our budget to just be a feature of our continued development of the website.
Okay.
So I don't think it would be significant.
Okay. This is where I think that our public relations money would probably be spent if and when there are costs arise. I don't see any right away. If we were to put together a printed production book, that would be something else, but that's way down the line. I also picked up our filling permit information from Parks and Rec, and one of the things that, who was it, told me that it was hard. Susan, you said it was kind of hard to get to.
Yeah, you have to go to Parks and Rec. Then you drop down to forms and on the city website. Then you drop down to forms and policies, and then under that there's filming in Morro Bay. So to make it easiest, it would be nice to have it on that left-hand column when you first hit the website. I know it starts to get to be a lot, but boy, if somebody's looking for filming in Morro Bay, they're probably not going to go to Parks and Rec first.
They're not. So we need that on the initial web page. And Rob, I guess that's something that, if you could have that on the city website, that would be really helpful. And obviously, we'll have something a little bit more there eventually.
Let's go ahead and make some progress, and then we can go from there. So,
okay. So, in addition to the list that I just mentioned, if anybody else has ideas on where it should be sent, or suggestions on how to make this better, or something to add to the list that might be of interest, please do let me know, and we'll get this going and start sending it out to the other agencies.
I have a suggestion. A few years ago, I worked in Brawley, and Brawley had a very active film group, but it was primarily volunteers and the president of the chamber. Now, this has been 15 years ago, something like that, so maybe things have changed, but their website might be worth viewing just to see if they still have an active group. But they really went out for movies. Of course, they had the sand dunes, and they just had so many things down there around Brawley.
Mm-hmm. Brawley?
Brawley. Just,
I have a friend that lives in Brawley. So, I used to go down there.
It's been about 15 years since I was down there working, I just know that they really had an active group, and it seems like there was always somebody from Hollywood coming in to review where sites and you know, they've got the Salton Sea, they've got the dunes, they've got so many places down there. But to me, that would be a place to look on their website and see what they're doing, if they're still doing it. I can't imagine not doing it, because that little community has received an awful lot of money from the federal government, and I can't imagine it being anything but a growing.
Okay, I'll take a look.
They're actually part of the Imperial County Film Commission, is what it's called now.
Okay. All I got to say is if Brawley could do it, Marl Bay can do it. And that's not a slam on Brawley, but I've been down there. It's
So I don't know if we need a motion that as costs come up, I don't even know if they will, so I'm not quite sure what we should do as an action on this item or not. Rob, do you have any suggestions on that?
The way it's worded, I at this point in time would just like us to maybe approve the letter to be put on the website is what.
Well, that's actually going to be mailed out.
And to be mailed out for the first start, and then come back if you've got a detailed amount of money you're looking for funding.
Okay.
Well, actually, I think that
agency and the old agency and probably the TBID as well. To make a smoother transition and have open communication about where we want to go, and probably it will address some of what's in our next topic about whether or not we're combining the promotions committee and the TBID.
This committee would be a joint committee also.
Yes.
I think John's idea was not to have a joint committee, so this wouldn't be a separate committee of ours. It would be a committee
made up
of both the TBID and our.
My thought was that that it would be good to have some representation from the promotions committee, maybe two members, and then have two members from the BID that would work with the agencies. I mean, frankly, I think that it would be good to have that. I think that, you know, Barnett Cox and I have been around long enough. We know each other pretty well that, you know, the transition, while it's going to be somewhat complicated because it's 18 years worth of work, it won't be impossible. And, you know, we'll work with them. And there's things, just really simplistic things like turning passwords over for the website, telling them about how to administer the photo gallery and awarding prizes and all of those things. So it's going to take, you know, just FaceTime with the agency. But I think it would be good to have a transition team set up so there's some goals that are set up by you guys to direct the agencies on what you hope to have accomplished.
Should someone from the city also be involved?
That would be Rob's call. It probably would be a good idea.
It would be a good idea to have a city representative on that committee also.
I mean, we're not committee members, but we will support you as staff.
Yeah, okay. We'll attend the meeting at least, Jim.
Okay. Anybody is just dying to be on that committee? I think I should probably be on it.
I'll be on it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Is that agreeable to everybody? Should we just have two from each committee? Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So we're done with that one. On to the next one, discussion of the proposal to combine the Community Promotions Committee and the TBID Board. This has come up at the City Council level based on a staff report, which is on the website. One of the things I did, because we have not gotten the changes yet on the website, let me see if I can find them, is I printed out our amended bylaws that we did, was it last summer or early fall? Policies and expenditure programs to advertise and promote the City of Morro Bay and its special events as a tourist destination point in areas both inside and outside the boundaries of San Luis Obispo County. That was one of our biggest changes before we had the TBID on board. We basically stated outside of San Luis County. So we added this in-county element. In addition, the CPC shall carry out a continuing and sustainable program designed to make known the advantages of tourism, recreation, business, and community events to the people of Morro Bay, which helps to maintain the highest quality of life for the residents. We go on to talk about the CPC will be responsible for developing cooperative marketing opportunities with existing and new local businesses. This shall be accomplished through targeted promotions of special events and consistent branding of the city of Morro Bay. The CPC shall work with the Morro Bay TBID in a way that is mutually supportive of each or both committees' goals for marketing, advertising, and budgeting to bring more visitors and tourism to the city, which in turn provides valuable TOT and sales tax revenues to the city of Morro Bay. And then we talk about setting specific goals and budgetary requests, which suggests to me that our budget committee needs to meet and work on what those requests are going to be of the city. Now, I did print out the TBID bylaws. Their purpose and authority states, the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board advises the City Council on the administration and use of the Morro Bay TBID assessment funds. The board recommends projects to the City of Morro Bay to promote tourism to directly benefit the city's lodging industry. So in my mind, we have two very distinct purposes and authority, and I think there is a real strong reason for keeping two boards. But I think we may need to be able to go before the City Council and discuss that and defend it. In my mind, one of the main things is the TBID represents one industry, and it's a basically a private tourism lodging industry, whereas the Promotions Board represents the whole rest of the public of Morro Bay.
And other businesses.
So I think we have different voices. One of the thoughts that I had, and Ed came up with the same idea independently, that's the main overlap, I think. So, and that's my presentation on all that. Any other discussion about it or ideas, thoughts?
Yeah, you know, that is, I think we discussed this last time. I don't remember, but I think that was one of the things we talked about, was an overlapping meeting. I think also planning, you know, if we have some overlap in our meeting to streamline things, that would help month to month. But also either once a quarter or once every 4 months, twice a year, whatever, we need to just have one big joint meeting and go over strategy. You know, what are our goals? Because TBID, I mean, it's a very different goal for them to provide beds for visitors once we get them here, and to convince people to stay in those beds. But the detraction to Morro Bay for these people visiting is not, let's go there and stay in a hotel. You know, and also, you know, we are the only ones representing the basic citizen of Morro Bay who doesn't own a business or doesn't own a hotel. But their quality of life is directly affected by the decisions that we make and that TBID makes. And TBID has not shown and nor should they show an interest in protecting that. That's not their goal. It's not their bylaws. And that is part of what we do. And I think it's really important we maintain two separate boards, and I think we can't say that strongly enough to the council and the mayor. But I think we do need to pull together and, you know, set our goals together of what are we trying to achieve here, so that we're both very clear on what the other one is doing, so that we can kind of erase. I mean, John has pointed out to us the importance of everybody working together, and I can't say strongly enough how much I agree with him on that one. And there's so much separation going on right now, and a little bit of antagonism going on, you know, with phrases being used like if you pay if you want to play, things like that have gone out. And, you know, if we had a meeting 2 times a year, 3 times a year, whatever, together, it gets people past that. When we have a common goal, then there's no room for division. And I think it'd be important to do both.
I think we have talked about that, scheduling 2, 3, maybe even 4 meetings a year that are joint meetings. Be a useful thing. Dan, have you got any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree that the TBID and the Promotions Committee represent different groups, but we represent these different groups using the same means for the most part. We have the same advertising, the same places we put advertising. You know, different people seeking funding come to both boards. There's a lot of overlap. So I feel like if we're going to maintain the two different...
70% to 80% of my customers are local people. And by local, I mean in our county. So what I would like to see our committee doing is putting more funding towards in-county advertising. I would also say it's repeat customers, and I throw in Fresno and Bakersfield as local because they come back.
and they come back, and they come back. Every month, I see the same faces again. And they sometimes just come for a day. But that's a valuable thing to our community, because without businesses that open their doors every day, there is no reason to come spend the night in Morro Bay. I mean, you've got the beach, and you could go surfing and kiteboarding, and, you know, not to put that down, but we don't have destination hotels, per se. A few nice little right on the waterfront, but people come because it is a living little town, and it's a living little town because businesses open their doors because they get local business. That's what keeps us all going. So that would be, I think, where I would put that distinction now that TBID's on board to do the big advertising to get to the south and get to the north and get further out, that the promotions committee can do that kind of in-house advertising that reminds people Morro Bay is here and it's got a lot of great things to offer. So that would be a distinction I think we could easily make for ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I'm talking about. We added both inside and outside, and I almost think the outside part needs to be taken away and left to the TBID.
Well, part of the problem with that is, you know, businesses that are, there are, we don't have a lot of, we have no destination hotels, like you said. We have very few businesses that on their own are a destination, but we do have a couple. You know, sports fishing is a destination that built tourism here. And we still do have sports fishing, and it looks like it's growing. And, you know, I know with my business, when we do a 2 or 3 day class, we advertise to the Bay Area and LA and reach out, and I know what my mailing list looks like. And they have to stay somewhere when they come here. So that will benefit the TBID. But it's still, like you, you know, a huge percentage of my business is local. But by local, that doesn't mean within the county necessarily. It means people that come for the day. I get a lot of business from Santa Barbara County that comes up for the day. So, yeah, we are outside. I don't think we can limit ourselves so much to inside, like how we write it inside the county. But I think in spirit, what Daniel's saying about focusing, you know, I mean, we can really focus what we want to target. We want to target the market.
You have two separate accounts. When you order the media, you're either ordering it Morro Bay City or Morro Bay BID. The media doesn't always get that right. They just say Morro Bay, and then you got to go back and discern which is which. But that's just part of the function. But there's this other back end side of it that's pretty complicated because of the two bodies. That being said, I would think that the best solution is what you've come up with, where perhaps you'd have your meeting, or you might even have a joint. Just might start with a joint meeting. And then it would be incumbent upon the agency to take that hour, whatever time it would take, to present the material for both bodies. For instance, it is a little bit like Groundhog Day, the movie, because, you know, in another hour I'm going to be showing that video again, and in another hour I'm going to be talking about Travel Scope. That's fine. I've been doing that for 18 months, and it's okay. However, for efficiency of time and also for opinion, I mean, we would have solved the Travel Scope issue right then, because you'd had both bodies and they could have said, yeah, we'll put in 3, you guys put in 1,000. So that would have been, you know, probably more productive. I, you know, now since I'm leaving, I can also say things that maybe I wouldn't say normally. So I'll just tell you, I would be very careful of not keeping held on to your committee, because funding's an issue. You know, if you blend these, then I think, and one of the things that we talked about, and we certainly did this in a public forum, I mean, we talked about how that you need to remain significant to the council so you get funding and be different from the BID. And we talked about how what you could do is embracing more of the businesses, be there for the general, you know, citizenry. That's why we're doing this tourism survey, because that's going to benefit the BID. It's going to benefit the city. We're going to find out how our residents feel about tourism. Then we're going to educate them and let them know how important it is. And people will, our visitors will be treated in a different way. Those kinds of things that I think the promotions committee can do. Also, I think it's very important, while I think we should support the local business and buy local, you have to keep in mind that this board has always been here because of TOT. You know, it's funded out of the general fund, and I think that the city council, and I can't speak for them, but if I was one of them, I would want to know that both boards are trying to create overnight stays, because that is what funds the city. Now, it's not to say that we wouldn't try to get people from Santa Maria and Santa Barbara, because those are stay vacations, and we've done campaigns like that, and they've been successful in the past, because
People aren't going to drive up to Yosemite or drive even to Monterey, perhaps, but they might drive here if they're down in Thousand Oaks, just that much. And then the promotions committee could leave and not be there for the whole thing. So it's, I think that would be the best way. And I think it would be some protection for this committee to be viable and sustained, because I think they're both important. And I will tell you that each has helped the other. I mean, the BID has helped the promotions committee to be effective, and the promotions committee has helped the BID to be effective. And a lot of that is looking at where the media goes and how we function that way. But you know, this committee would, if it hadn't have funded the BID to get it going and front load the money, which was our strategy, I think the BID would have had even more trouble getting going. And so that's my suggestion. I think if you could work something like that out, I think that would be effective.
Any other comments from the board?
Yeah. I agree with everything John just said, and I think that one of the things that struck me in the presentation to the City Council, which they didn't get to, so I'm glad we have a chance to talk about this and weigh in on it, was that the voting majority would be from the TBID. And that, to me, is not being responsible with public funds, because the TBID, certainly they have every right to have the voting majority, well, the vote on their funds, because they're collecting them. But as far as the public funds coming from not just the TOT, but sales tax and our general fund, that to me is a public trust that we need to have public representation for. And simply by what they are supposed to be doing, it is going to be focused, their vote's going to be focused on the hotels. And that's cutting out the businesses, the restaurants, and the public. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just saying we need that representation as well. So that, to me, was a concern. As far as the meetings, I think if we have that joint meeting, and during that hour, we can have on the agenda action items that both groups have to vote on. We're having our joint meeting every month, and that could be tremendously productive and time-saving for staff, because I do understand the strain on staff. So you've got overlapping funding requests. You can handle them all right there. And our individual meetings would therefore be somewhat shorter, so we should be able to do it in a three-hour time period. I think we do have a specific difference here than what the focus is from the TBID. And I think that our ads do go in different places. I mean, when we promote, for instance, 4th of July, that's, again, I'm going to say this, we could maybe get that business group to attend for that hour as well once a month. So. The other thing I wanted to say, and I'm not sure I want to be able to be there, but I think that it's going to be the top of the agenda at the next council meeting. And I think it would really help if all of us are there to say something. Even if it's just, you know, yeah, please, we agree this is important. I think that would really show our sincerity and our very strong concern about keeping it separate.
Is that next meeting on the 26th?
No.
It wasn't the 12th?
It's not on the 26th because of the other items, so it'll come back on the meeting after that. So it's not on the 26th agenda.
Is it May 10th, the second Tuesday?
Second Tuesday, is that May 10th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because they said it was going to be the top of the agenda.
I don't believe it is. I can check. I'll check and see if it's been posted.
I don't know when they put it off. They said it would be at the top of the
list. When they put it off, we have the medical marijuana issue, and we've got A-frames, and there were some other big issues, so they decided to push it off.
That's going to be a long meeting.
Yeah.
So May 10th is the date. Could you just let us know? Because I really think it would be important for us to...
And just real quick, you know, I was instrumental and helped the commission put together the new bylaws. And the reason was that is, like John said, is to separate yourself for funding purposes. And so you spend a lot of time doing that. And I think it's important to bring that to council's attention, that, you know, your feelings on this issue. You certainly can all show up separate, or you could make a motion so that someone, whoever did stand up, could say that they are speaking on behalf of the commission, if you want to do it that way.
Well, if I want to speak once, I just think that sometimes it really helps to have all the faces there.
Okay. And I do have, You know, and we've been dealing with this issue for 2 years, how to be more efficient. And I do have just some problematic issues on agenda and being able to notice it properly when you're starting and stopping a joint meeting and not. But we certainly will try to work through that. I like better the idea of just a completely joint meeting. And you would be able to participate in all the items, but if it was a funding mechanism, then you just wouldn't vote on that item. And, you know, I don't know how TBID feels about that, but, you know, like you said, just the last item on a joint meeting, you couldn't really say when you want to have that workshop, and you would have been able to resolve that very easily. So, but we can work through those issues. If they do keep them together, we'll try to find another way. But I really like, but the agenda said at 9 you were going to start the other meeting for the public. It might be very difficult to try to stay online for agendas. I mean, we're already at 9:30, and we were talking about just this group going from 8 to 9. But we could try it that way and see how it works.
I think that there's a way possibly to do that. I know that we just had in Pismo Beach, we had a joint meeting with the in Pismo, they have one board. It's the existing, it was the board that was originally, it would be basically like this board would have continued with the BID. But there are a lot of hoteliers on Pismo's board, so that's probably one reason why it worked. But my point is that, you know, you agendize this just as Pismo did at 4 o'clock. There's a joint meeting between the council and the VCB board. And then at 6 o'clock, this regular council meeting starts. So you're done. You just have to be done by 5. And if you don't get those things done, then, you know, you move on. I mean, you set them for the next meeting. But, you know, there was a lot of discussion going on, and people wanted to stay longer, but council was going into a closed session, you know, right at 5, and then they had their 6 o'clock meeting. So we had an hour. And I don't know, maybe if people only had an hour, you know, it may be more efficient, because you keep looking at the clock and saying, hey, we only have 10 more minutes to resolve this.
I totally agree. And having shared meetings where I had joint meetings where I had to give people a minute to speak,
right.
It's amazing how efficient they were.
Exactly.
So I think it can be done. And Rob, I think it can be done by an agenda from 8 to 9, an agenda from 9 to 10, and an agenda from 10 to 11. At 11, it's over. And I think that as long as that's all printed, I think that would work. The 9 to 10 would be the joint meeting.
Yeah. Usually the joint meeting that works first and you have a set time for it works best, and then going into the separate ones, but then you wouldn't be able to do that. I'm just saying, after 23 years of doing this, it's going to be difficult. I'm not mm-hmm. saying it can't be done, but it will be difficult when on your agenda is a big item and you're going from 8 to 9. You know, if you keep to the schedule, great, yeah. But sometimes it makes it very difficult.
Yeah. Well, it'd be a challenge no matter what.
One of the things would be to do a lot of work through subcommittees, joint subcommittees, so that, you know, you have somebody that gives a report that's going to, you know, instead of having 14 people voice an opinion, you'd have 4 people from the subcommittee or whatever it was that would say what they thought, and then take a vote on it or whatever. You know.
And that's perfectly okay, but we're going to be changing our procedures on subcommittees. Talk subcommittees just real quick, but